Hi, everyone. It's a pleasure to be with you today on our inaugural podcast, the Dean's Inaugural Podcast for the College of Professional Studies. You can consider this season one, episode one. And hopefully in several years, we'll look back and see season seven, episode 395, like on the podcast I follow in my car. Interim Dean Jared O'Clair. I've been at Northeastern for just over 11 years and I'm excited to take on this leadership role in the College of Professional Studies for several reasons. One, I believe in articulated and actualized learning pathways for all learners that are skill-based, work-integrated, credentialed, and stackable. So essentially what that means for me is thinking about how we deconstruct education so that it's better aligned with work throughout one's career, as opposed to going to school 4 years after high school or 4 years at a time and then pursuing additional credentials after that. I also do think that linking research to education is an important part of that process, so we'll consider that. Over these podcasts, we'll have an opportunity to chat with students, with other thought leaders in this space, and colleagues. But really, the intent is to have a conversation in a good time. And for everyone here and everyone listening, I go by just Jared. So with that, how about we have the students introduce themselves?
Okay, hi. So you can call me Judy. And like now, I'm in Northeastern University CPS program, Interactive Design. And that's like after I went to University of Washington in Seattle, like after 4 years study communication. And I think like that's actually like a very good time for me, but I just feel like the study is too general. So I only like study very like abstract, like knowledge about communication, mass communication and communication technology with people. So I feel like if I want to like go more about my career, I want to know more about like how can I get like in such like program at CPS. So I just came here and I feel like it's a very good choice for me.
Great. Hi everyone, I'm Sanaya. I'm a first year student. My major is sociology and I'm on a legal path. Hope to be a judge in the future. Fun fact, my mom is an alumni here. My aunt is an alumni here. So I'm excited to continue the Northeastern path in my family.
Hello everyone, my name is Valeria Garcia. I usually go by Val. I'm an international student from the Dominican Republic, but I've been in Boston for the past 7 years. I went over to BU as an undergraduate.
We won't hold that against
you. Yeah, no. Thank you, I appreciate that. But now I'm currently doing the digital media management course here at CPS, and I'm very excited to be here and to grow as a professional.
Hi everyone, I'm Sinead. I'm studying undergrad digital communications and media, and I'm in my third year of that.
Hi, my name is Randall Ascona. I'm a CPS student here at Northeastern, and I'm pursuing my bachelor's in management degree. And I also work as a full-time individual at a financial asset manager here in Boston. Mm-hmm.
Fantastic. Thank you all, and thank you all for being here and having this conversation with me today. I'm going to start with a softball, an easy question that anyone can answer. Like I said, it's a conversation, so don't be shy and be as honest as possible, and so won't I. So the softball question, the easy question to start with is, why CPS? What attracted you to our programs, and how are they going for you so far? Who wants to take a stab first?
I can take it.
Perfect.
It's going so good for me. I completed my associates before coming into CPS, and it's a personal goal that I had. I used to work for Northeastern in the past as a food service person in the international building. So I always had the goal to join Northeastern at some point, and I think it has worked pretty well to me.
So where did you get your associate's degree from?
I got it from Southern New Hampshire University.
SNU. We love SNU. I come from New Hampshire, so it's good. Were you able to transfer any of your credits over?
Thankfully, yes. Most of them were transferred. I also completed the Europe program.
Oh, nice.
In the cybersecurity track, so most of my technology credits were transferred into CPS as well. So yeah, I got 60 credits in. And
that's great.
Looking forward to it.
And how do you feel the program is?
As long as you just follow the directions and do everything on time, you're pretty much golden.
Awesome. Yeah. We like to hear that. I think it's really important for me to hear from you all, but also to think about how we make sure that student experience really is meeting the needs of the students, especially as many of our students are working full-time, and thinking about how we can do that better. And one thing I'd like to ask you all to do before I forget and you leave here is, when you leave, to help me think about also how we can really instill a sense of student community within the college, because it's not as easy to do as in many other colleges, because most of our programming is in the evening and our students work, and which makes it more complicated, but not unsolvable. Who else wants to take a stab at telling me why you chose CPS and how it's going so far? You can also tell me the bad things. I'm happy to hear those because I can try to fix them.
I could take a stab at it. I come from a mostly creative background. My expertise is doing creative advertising and creative marketing. And I was browsing through different master's programs that I could apply to. And I was really caught off guard by Northeastern CPS's curriculum, just because there were so many like different things that I've always wanted to try and study that kind of sort of relate to my degree, but are also a bit of an expansion of them. Like, for instance, there's a lot of programming courses, a lot of entrepreneurial courses. And I really honestly just thought that it would be such a great opportunity for me to try and like try out all these things all under one program and become like a more well-rounded professional and student as of it. And as of right now, I could say that that has been the case. I feel like I've learned a lot and I love this curriculum so far and having a great time while studying.
That's fantastic. And do you find the diversity of the coursework as you described it? It doesn't sound like it's overwhelming.
Not so far. I've always been a very good student and been good at like time management, which helps a lot. It is an adjustment for sure to start learning all these things from scratch. But for example, like programming, that's nothing, like it's not an easy thing to start learning right off the bat. But I think the faculty here has been very helpful in helping us adapt to this kind of new environment and this kind of new workload. And everyone's very helpful in the community so far. So
yeah, that's great. You mentioned programming, which is actually really fun for me as a professional, because it's probably in most fields, I would argue these days, some sort of programming is a necessity. But for old timers like me, the thought of learning Python or R is like so overwhelming. I can dabble in Python because I did some of that work as a postdoc, but it's totally overwhelming to me. I think it's also interesting, as Val, you pointed out, a really important concept that I think, and I hope all of our students take advantage of, and that's really thinking about the skills that you actually need to be a professional and to be a successful professional in your field, and how those skills might transcend the traditional coursework. And hopefully, you know, as you go on professionally, all of you, and think about what's next, you come back to us to help us help you acquire those skills in small bursts or through badges or micro-credentials or other types of programming. Because I think one of the things that's really exciting is as we see higher education evolve, and in particular in Massachusetts and other states in the United States, is this movement towards skill-based hiring as opposed to just didactic, theoretical knowledge-based hiring. So fantastic. Who else?
I can go. So like as I said before, I like came here because I feel like I can have a very clear thought, like mind, with what I want to do like in the future about my career. So actually like now I become a UI UX designer like after like 2 years of study. And I think like this program is attractive to me because when I also like, as Belle said, when I search like for several like master degrees, I feel like it's really like good at publicizing their program, because they say like you can like be successful blah 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 like after you know like study for 2 or 3 years on this program, and they have a very specific details about like every course, so you can have a very clear mind of like what it's going to be and what content like you can study.
Fantastic. And you said you wanted to be a UIX designer?
Yeah.
And for the audience, what is that?
So it's like UX is like user experience design, and UI is like more about user interface. So it's more about like you can design an app or website, that kind of platform, and it will go like a very like specific like flow for you. And if you like feel like now you are very attracted to the trends of design like that's around you, not only like physical design, but also like, you know, like on your app store, like if you have an iPhone, like you can see like the ranking of like each like category. And if you feel like, oh, like I don't feel like this app works for me, and you want to like even like design your own app, you can just like go through like this and, you know, like go to study like UI UX.
Awesome. That's great. By the way, we love the App Store, but we also like the Android Store, and we have no sponsors at this time, so anybody's welcome. Anybody else want to take a stab at telling me why CPS?
Sure. I joined CPS right out of high school, so I think a bit different than a lot of my classmates. I was looking for something that allowed me more flexibility in that I could be on campus for classes, but also have the remote aspect when I needed, and also the courses and majors aligned with what I was interested in. So those were kind of the main reasons, and I still get like that community aspect, having the option to be on campus and taking advantage of all the things that the greater Northeastern community has.
That's fantastic, and I think that's a really important point also, because sure, we're the College of Professional Studies, but Northeastern is a global university with 14 campuses and 9 other colleges that our students can engage in. And I'd love to hear, actually, if you have any examples of some of the other things that you've participated in through the university, that'd be awesome.
So I actually studied in NUN, unfortunately during COVID, so I was here in Boston.
I'm sure I did your COVID test.
Yeah, probably. So I got all those transfer credits that were taken over, and then just been taking advantage of kind of everything that I get in my email from Northeastern. So whether it's like webinars or programs or all that type of stuff, definitely an advantage of being here in Boston, close to the main campus.
That's fantastic. And it's one piece of advice that you have taken that I didn't give you because we've never met before. But one piece of advice I give to all students, take it, especially while you're in school, take advantage of all those opportunities that the university has to offer and the region in which you live, whether that's here in Boston or Toronto or wherever it might be, take advantage of those networks, because realistically, the most important part of anybody's career in the future is really your professional network. I leverage my professional network constantly. Sorry for doing that, guys.
I know it may sound cliche to say, but the professors, of course, were one of the reasons. Some of them have taught my mom and my aunt. And also, just like, I'm coming straight out of high school, going into college. And in high school, you have some leeway into what classes you decide to take. But normally, it's a very like strict, like limited list of what you get to choose from. And so having this new opportunity of getting to choose my own path was really important to me. And so now that I'm in classes and I'm in a building filled with peers who have like-minded ideas like me and interests and want to pursue things that I want to pursue, that was important to me.
That's fantastic. And you also mentioned peers, which is actually the foundation of your professional network. So leverage your peers as much as possible. And I think that's also one of the most exciting things about the college and the university is our faculty. I'd actually be interested from your perspective how your mom and aunt see Northeastern today versus when they came, compared, like, what's your experience compared to theirs?
We talk about it all the time. I mean, they, like, when I came here, they were showing me around, like, they were so excited. Like, I used to come to campus when I was like 7 or 8 and my aunt was a college student, so I was always in the Curry Center hanging out with her, getting food. That hasn't really changed as much, but in terms of like the buildings, the way it looks now, it's definitely changed. And also the way you get in has definitely changed. That was not the same for them when they came here. And so I think that was like kind of a proud moment for them, for me to get in, knowing like how hard it was and competitive it was to get into Northeastern.
That's fantastic. Yeah, the university has definitely evolved over the last several decades. Even from when I applied in the late 90s, I did not come here. Ironically, I did not come here because I didn't want to do a co-op, which was my naivete as a young man. And that leads to the next topic of conversation that I'd like to touch on and really hear your perspective on experiential learning through the college and the university. Have you done co-ops? Are you thinking about co-ops? But co-ops aren't the only thing that we think about, right? In some of our classes, some of our faculty embed real world projects, which would what we might call experiential network projects. So I think from my perspective, there's two things. One of the reasons I love working here is experiential learning. And I think that's learning by doing is a key to all students and all learners' success. The co-op is the foundation, but I think there's a lot more that we as a university could be doing. The irony in that space is that I don't know everything. The faculty don't know everything. We need to hear from the students. So I'd love to hear all of your perspective on experiential learning as it stands today and where you might see it going in the future and how it could best serve you as a student.
Well, from my perspective, I'm already in the the working industry. So that fun fact, the company I work for has a partnership with Northeastern, so we take lots of co-ops, incoming co-ops, and I get to help them train.
Nice.
So actually my team
are they well prepared?
They are very well prepared, and they, you know, like, they're excelling, so they're doing so good.
That's great. Yeah, that's fantastic. And I think, you know, it's interesting too, as we think about co-ops beyond Boston, right? Because it's an interesting concept that a lot of the rest of the world actually doesn't understand, because it's a very different process that we use than other universities, where we facilitate the process internally through co-op faculty and advisors and an online job board and other opportunities. Who else wants to tell me about experiential learning?
Yeah, I can. I'll go for it. I actually did a co-op earlier this year. The process for co-op for international students looks a little bit different, just because we have to go through a little bit more hoops, apply for CPT, which is basically like a permit that allows you to work while studying. I ended up finding my opportunity through networking, just because I did a...
See, I told you networking is important.
Yeah, it's really important. It really is. And I found a social media/marketing position through a run club that I go to in Boston.
Oh, nice.
That I'm a brand ambassador for right now, actually.
What's a run club?
It's Boston Roadrunners.
Awesome.
So feel free to look us up. And that co-op experience was really great. I got to learn a lot from a direct supervisor. It was also very interesting to balance that with my course load, because I was doing part-time co-op and full-time student,
wow,
taking three classes at the same time.
Wow.
So time management skills are very handy when it comes to that. But I just really love how Northeastern really opens up a career path for students, and in how open they are for allowing people to look for co-ops, get co-ops, and try to adjust people's academic requirements with that.
Yep.
And it really just goes to show how much CPS is really involved in the students' growth of a professional career. And even outside of co-op, like throughout my classes, I've gotten to work with like a bunch of different clients, like real world clients, and doing real world projects for them. So experiential learning so far has been one of the key attractive points of CPS, if I could put it that way. And it's really great to see myself growing, not just my network, but like my resume, my portfolio, and all through academic coursework, which is not something that you see a lot, especially like in undergraduate programs and stuff like that. So it's been great so far.
Fantastic points. Actually, it also reminds me to encourage you all to be experiential learning champions and mentors once you graduate and you go work someplace. And you can also come back and teach, but, you know, not that I'm trying to hire. Other thoughts?
Yeah, I guess I can speak. So I'm just at the beginning of the co-op process now, starting to look at applying and stuff. And through that, I can definitely see how experiential learning in the classroom has been super helpful. And like you said, having actual clients or businesses come in and be incorporated into the projects I'm doing, because now I have something to show when I'm going to apply for a co-op, what my skills are and like how they would be applied in an actual assignment or a project.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a really important point, right? We want to leverage the fact that you walk away with skills that you can speak about to employers, but also to give you that leg up, because, you know, as a student way back in the Stone Age, perhaps, you know, my favorite question when interviewing for jobs was, this is a job that needs 1 to 5 years of experience. What do you have for experience? And I had nothing. I mean, I had a little experience, but not to the level that we hopefully are providing to you, and we can do better, but I think we do a decent job.
So I'm also like in the process of seeking co-ops, but like I know like CPS really like cares and want to encourage students like by providing projects, like capstone projects, and also like I think free like 3 times courses. I just forget the name, but that's also like real projects that connected with like corporations or like on campus like projects, as like what I did now, like with my 2 group members, that is like creating an app like for CPS. So like you can really like look forward to it, but we won't like...
We are looking forward to it, no pressure.
Yeah, because like we will only like have, I think, like a model like this time, and next quarter maybe like students will like still like get like into it and maybe like really like launch it like on the store, so
great.
You can really like use it in the future. But I think like that's like really like good opportunity for students like to know like what will it to be like in their like career, like so I think like CPS just like really like gave us like many opportunities and chances like to delve into like real like projects.
Awesome. I look forward to the app actually and and promoting it and its use and to provide feedback.
So I'm personally not in a co-op yet, but I am looking forward to it. I actually hope to do it, as you had mentioned, like having it naturally come, like having networking and meeting people. I hope to do it that way, but just excited for what the future holds.
That's excellent. Yeah, and I think that's one of the beauties of the co-op system also, right, is that, sure, we can help facilitate, but we also encourage students to develop their own co-ops and through their own relationships. And for me, I think those are probably the most fruitful, right, because they're built on your own previous work and experience and relationships. It's also interesting as we think about higher education, and I think about higher education, part of my job is to try to keep my eye on the ball or anticipate and predict the future, perhaps, of where higher education is going and what we as a college, what we as a university need to adapt to. So I'm going to put a very open-ended question on the table that I'd like to hear your thoughts on, and that is really how you see artificial intelligence, AI, transforming education, the way we teach and learn, but also in your professions moving forward. And I'll give you a little bit of a encouragement here. As I think about AI very liberally, I think it's a tool that we should leverage to enhance our productivity. I don't think it's going to replace humans. I think we need to keep humans in the loop. But for example, if I was teaching a course, I might think about redesigning my assignments so that you can use ChatGPT or Perplexity. Again, we have no sponsors, anyone, to help you do that assignment in a more productive way. And then I'm on this side of the spectrum, way over here, where I am all about leveraging AI. And I have colleagues who are way over here on this side of the spectrum who are like, AI is awful. Keep it away from me. It's all about cheating. So, you know, from a student perspective, which we actually don't hear very often in the context of how you all think about AI, I'd love to hear your thoughts.
I was going to say, the topic of AI is just, like, it's so big in today's world, and it really is the new frontier of technology. Like, there's no denying it. It's growing so fast, and it's getting so advanced, and it's hard to avoid, and partly because it's hard to avoid, but also because it is a really good tool to use. It's not something that we should shy away from as students and as professors and as faculty. I was actually talking to someone recently about how AI has been helping me, like, in my job search. I'm currently looking for jobs after graduation. And it's so, like, it's such a misconception of AI that you can just, like, throw whatever and it'll, like, give everything that you need right back to you. AI should be used as a tool, like you said before. You have to really work with it in order to produce the results that you want. Like, you can't just throw a prompt at it and expect to get, you know, the perfect answer. You have to really coax it into giving you what you need. So, for instance, I've been using it to write cover letters. Cover letters are notoriously just a hassle to do when you're applying for jobs. But you, like, for instance, what I do, I'll throw my resume in there. I'll throw the job description in there. I'll tell the AI, you know, let me know how you can tailor my resume to the specific job description and see what I can get from that. And then from that, I, like, read through the cover letter that it gives me, tailor it to my voice to fit my own personality, and then you have, like, a good result. Like, it really is something that can be leveraged for assignments, as long as you don't overabuse its power, obviously, and you don't use it as a way to cheat, but rather as a way to amplify your voice in a way that makes the most sense to your assignment.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And that's exactly how I think about it. I also love your example of a cover letter, right? Because the bane I think of it, every job applicant's process is like, oh, the cover letter should speak to the job description. I'm like, I don't have time for that. I'm applying to 100 jobs. Like, I'm just using the same cover letter.
And let's be honest, not a lot of people read the cover letter. No, they just want to know that you did it.
That's right. That's right. So you leveraging, you know, technology to help with that process is a perfect example.
I was going to say I really loved how my professors and program have approached AI in that it's almost encouraged, but in a way that we're informed on how to use it. So whether it's from, I just did an assignment, which was the literally use AI to write a blog post, but we had to show our process and how we edit prompts and get feedback on that from our professor so that we're leveraging Copilot in this instance so that we get the best results and know how to use it. So anything from that to using it in design classes to create digital art, or even in the digital comm program, we just had a certification for AI media analytics that we could do, which I personally think is great because it's kind of inevitable that AI is going to be used, whether it's in education or in the workforce. So I might as well be educated and know how to take advantage of it.
I agree. One of my favorite stories actually of some colleagues of mine is, I won't name any names, but they're like, oh, AI is awful. Students shouldn't use AI. It's really bad. And then literally in the next breath, they're like, oh yeah, I have to give a presentation at this conference and ChatGPT wrote it for me. Okay. So where's the disconnect? But to your point, I mean, I think AI goes through winters and summers, and we're in a summer. We'll go back to a winter, but it's not going away.
Yeah, I would also add that also from the workforce perspective, we pretty much have AI on every app. And if we're preparing students for the future and to join one of these companies, they actually should be having, didn't you know how to work with those apps and also the AI? And also, I think that just by working with AI, I don't think you actually have that advantage if you don't know what's right and what's wrong, because the AI can provide so much wrong information.
Hallucinations.
So yeah, if you don't know how to differentiate what's right, what's wrong, and what's true and what's not, you actually might be making it worse. So it really requires skills to actually work with AI and be successful with it. But I think we should be pushing forward to working with it, because companies are pushing forward to working with it.
That's right.
And if we're not, then we just provide an outdated education.
That's great. That's a great point. It's also very great to emphasize the fact that industry and companies are using AI, right? Because I think it's also interesting from my perspective still, I mean, I use artificial intelligence a lot, right? And it makes me a lot more efficient. So I can spend a lot, to your point, I have to edit it, but I can spend a lot more of my mental energy on other things. But still, for some reason, and maybe it's just who I am and the way I was raised, I have this little nudge of guilt that floats around me like, Jared, don't use it. You're cheating. In reality, like I've said, I actually don't believe that it is. And if you use it properly and then engage it in the way you described it, and I think that, you know, as industry moves in that direction, it'll make us more efficient. And as a really prominent example of my love of AI, I was spending too much time last night looking on social media at people who were trying to beta test the Tesla robot. I'm like, I need that thing in my life. Maybe not from Tesla, but I need that thing in my life.
I can go one class I study that's from like Professor Cynthia Barron, the digital storytelling. So that's like, I think the class, like she actually like encouraged us to use AI, cause like we are supposed to create like Instagram account and like make storyboarding of that. So that's like because like some students are not good at drawing, and we actually wanna to have a very fancy like storyboard, like to have like our characters put into it and just add some like context. So like that's like why like she encouraged us to use AI, just to, you know, like use it as a tool to make like some fancy like images, but like not actually like also like not overuse it, because that's actually like just a tool. She asked us to control like AI, not don't want AI to control us and replace, you know, like users. So I think that's like very helpful like for us.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. And it is a tool that won't replace users or humans, and figuring out how we use it to be more efficient is key.
So I was in a public speaking class, and one of the topics was persuasive speaking, and someone had mentioned AI, but they didn't go through with it, and I wish they had, because I was really interested to hear their point of view, because they were against AI, and they thought that it would be detrimental to society to continue having AI in our culture. And I've watched videos on it and heard people's takes. I think a lot of people are worried about the younger generations maybe losing their ability to do things without the consistent use of AI. So I definitely can see where they're coming from with that perspective. But then again, I can also see how much AI is going to be integrated into our futures. So I almost think that it's like helpful that we start encouraging people to rightfully use AI.
Yeah, that's a great point. And I think it's interesting as I think about, because I hear similar concerns from people about AI, especially since I have kids in high school. The teachers in particular oftentimes raise those concerns, to which I always try to think back to other examples in life that are technology related that were revolutionary to the way that we work and live. And, you know, the reality is we heard similar things, I think, in the mid-90s, probably early 90s, around the internet. Right. And the internet, I would argue, I don't know how I could function without the internet. I also think that it's created an interesting opportunity to think about how education should evolve, because you can get knowledge from anywhere, but we should be teaching you what to do with that knowledge, how to critical think and problem solve. Right. And I think we'll see a similar evolution happen for AI. And I think we've only scratched the surface. Right. Like, I think my cell phone, like, has I open the apps now and they have AI layered on them. I don't know what that means. I don't know what it does. I mean, it seemingly does not much at this point. It's probably collecting data on my usage and will adapt. But that future to me is so exciting, just thinking about how I can be more efficient. And if that means I can be more efficient and spend more time with my friends and family, that's even better. But I think that still remains to be seen, and we'll see where that goes. You know, and I think also, as we think about this conversation and the reality of me leading the college, it can't be all good. So I'd love to hear, you know, where we could do better, and or even if it's not do better, what are things that are missing that you would like to see us do in the future? Because this is your opportunity to tell me that, but also for me to think about where we might go and how we might better serve students. Now, that said, I think we do a good job, but there's always room for improvement. And I think your voices are the most important to that. And you can frame it in the context of three things, and they might be the same: CPS, Northeastern, or just in general, higher education. It's evolving. Higher education moves at the speed of a snail. But I think we're in a moment in time where people like me and others are going to push on those boundaries as hard as we can.
I don't have any negative comments, but I do have a positive one. So this is like the second time that I come into the offices of CPS, and this is only the second time, and those two times I saw you. The first one was when I came for the orientation, and now it's the second time when I'm doing this podcast. So I just love the way that you are so involved with the students, and that's nothing I have been able to experience in the past in the schools I have attended to. So that's something very positive that I see here, and I hope it continues in the future.
Yeah, thank you. And I intended to. I mean, I think there's two reasons. I haven't said this today yet. There's two reasons I work at a university. One, on the research side and the professional training side that I have as a scientist for patients. But aside from that, the most important thing to me is students. And your success is our success. And, you know, and the things that I can, it's almost like a parent, right? Like, I can see the things that you're going to be able to do that I didn't have the opportunities to, which is so exciting to me. And the best part is if I learn from all of you.
So I'm a part of the FY program, and a lot of you probably don't know what that is. So
foundation year.
Yes, foundation year. And so with that, me being in that program, I sometimes feel like we're left out of Northeastern, and I just hope that in the future, like, I know this year was the first year we got to attend convocation, if I'm not mistaken. So just continuing efforts like that, where we're able to like feel a part of the school, because we're commuting from home. We're not living on campus, which is something I also hope could change in the future. So just keeping that up would be really good for the students, because I know a lot of them have expressed that like feeling of being alienated. And I know a lot of people struggle to really put themselves out there. I also do, but it's just one of those things. Sometimes just attending clubs may not be enough, you know.
That's a great point. And I think something that actually is one of my, like I said at the beginning, I've been here for 11 years. I was previously in the College of Science, and CPS and one or two of the other colleges sit peripheral in my estimation to the other colleges, right? So there's an opportunity for me to try to figure out how to solve for that and make it so that we're a little bit more, if not completely, integrated into the system and into the university. So I hear that and I'm working on it, at the level of thinking about commencement and really trying to encourage the university to have our students join the Fenway commencement, which currently we don't, right? So really thinking about things like that. And I don't claim that I'm going to be able to solve all the problems, but I need to hear those things from you and the university needs to hear those things from the students, and we'll work on them, and we'll continue to work on them, because I am working on them. But absolutely one of the most important things, which is why I asked in someplace along the line for you to help me think about how we can build a better student community for the college and then link it to the university.
I actually wanted to bounce off of these points just because I think community is also one of my biggest struggles in CPS. Maybe it just comes from my personal experience as a grad student. I live off of campus a little bit far, so it takes a while for me to commute, and sometimes I'm not aware like what kind of events and outreach programs are going on or what kind of workshops are going on. Sometimes they get lost in my email, which is unfortunate. But so yeah, I think there could be a little bit more work done, not just to integrate the CPS into the greater Northeastern community, but to also bring the people within CPS a bit closer together. Because I would love to, you know, get to interact with more students from the college that I perhaps might not get to interact with during classes or with other activities. And I think I'm also part of the project with Judy, where we're working on that app. And I think something that's so great that we're trying to fix as we speak is that aspect of community and how we can bring CPS students together. And yeah.
So it's actually, it's something I've been thinking a lot about for a long time, but in particular over the last month, because I visited the Toronto campus and our students on the Toronto campus, right? It's not a unique experience for the network campuses where the students are formed into a community more tightly, right? Because it's majority of the students in many cases are CPS students on those campuses, one. Two, it's a smaller campus and the infrastructure of those campuses are built to support student experience. We are too, but it gets sometimes lost in the shuffle of the everyday, right? I'm trying to learn from what they're doing so that we can try to do things here with all of your help. But also then thinking about the broader community of CPS that expands beyond the Boston campus and walls. And even if that's, you know, I live 25 miles west of Boston, right? Like what that means for our students who commute in and from a distance also, and thinking how we can build those bonds and really form those, help you all form those lasting relationships with each other.
I would just make a point about community that this was something I really struggled with my first few years. But recently, it kind of clicked for me that if I wanted that, I would have to go and make the effort myself. Which, like, yes, I was getting emails and opportunities, but it's more about I needed to make the mental shift of, okay, I have to take advantage of those. And I have to seek out those experiences because this isn't a traditional environment, at least as an undergraduate student, seeing maybe what my friends from my hometown are experiencing at their colleges and universities. This is a different environment, and just having to kind of have that shift in how I was thinking about it, seek out what I was looking for in terms of taking advantage of what the school has to offer and also the CPS events and networking.
Absolutely. I mean, that's a great point. I mean, we can bring you to the well, but we can't make you drink the water. But that said, though, I will also acknowledge the challenge that can be, because contrary to what many people might think these days, I'm an introvert. Like, you can't get any more introverted than I am on the introverted scale. In college, my default was, like, I'd rather just stay in my room and keep to myself, or if I have to go to a social gathering, just, you know, give me a plate of vegetables and I'm happy to stand in the corner and observe what's happening. Now that I can drink, give me a beer and I'm happy to observe what's happening, right? That was my default. And, you know, people are like, oh, you're shy, or shyness can be linked. People might perceive, this is my own life experience, perceive it as rudeness, which it's not. But really thinking about too how we, you know, I know that that's a reality for many students, and thinking about how we can sort of help with that in the process is something I think about also. Because like you, I learned later in life, through my professional life, on what I needed to do to sort of break down those barriers. That doesn't mean that I don't go home and hide in my room and and watch TV by myself, which is hard when you have a family, my love, but still a reality.
I just have some feedback regarding the classes. So I found out that we later after I've been taking some classes, I found out that we have some accelerated classes that are just half of the term, and I found out that they were very, very useful for me, especially given that I have a full time and it's hard to just simply take more than two classes at once in a term.
Yep.
My feedback would be to have an accelerated class for every class, because I found out that they weren't. And given we had some in-person classes, we have online classes for every class, but I found out that we only have some classes that are accelerated online classes.
Yep.
And that will actually determine how fast I will go with my degree.
Yep.
Because I'm planning to take more than two classes. I'm planning to take three classes, but I would only be able to do it if I take half the semester, two classes and then one more class towards the end of the semester. But if those classes aren't available, then I'm just going to end up taking two classes. You're just saying.
Yeah, that's a great point. And that's actually interesting, because if I have my way, which I might not, all the curricula in the college would exist in a fashion in which you could see skills linked to competencies in a given course. So it might be that this set of skills and this competency is over 4 weeks, this one might be over six, whatever, so that you could find a way of essentially accelerating skill-based, credential-based, skill-based, competency-based learning. We're not going to go to that model completely, because that's a lot, but leveraging that in that sense, hopefully in the future, will help our students, but we'll see. And I know that we only have a few minutes left here with each other, so let me open the floor for any final thoughts, comments, anything that you wanted to share with us and the audience that I might not have covered.
Personally, this is very new to me. I, again, used to work for Northeastern on the food service department, and this was just simply a dream come true. CPS made it true for me, and I'm really, really happy that I'm able to be part of this and also be here with the guys. Thank you.
Awesome. Yeah, we're happy that you're here. Anyone else?
I have a little bit of advice, and it's funny because I'm a first year, so I haven't fully experienced college yet, but what I will say is just stay on campus, just be in a random building and just see what's going on, be around friends. I've noticed that I've made a lot of opportunities and done things that I didn't expect myself to do, because I am also sort of shy and introverted, by just being in a right place at a right time. And it also helps you familiarize around campus. And also, it's your first go at college. You know, you're gonna make mistakes. I know I asked my mom a lot of help because she went to college, but you know, things have changed since then. So it's always good to just reach out and ask for help.
That's great advice, absolutely. And ask help from your peers, your family, faculty, the staff, the college, the university. Fantastic.
I would just encourage everyone to keep looking at the opportunities that are offered. Being a third year, I'm starting to think about, you know, my future education or if I want to enter the workforce. So I'm starting to look at the plus one program and the different, you know, certifications that Northeastern and CPS offers. And I find the more I'm looking, the more I'm finding, which I'm trying to take advantage of as much as possible. Yeah, just continuing to find those opportunities that CPS offers.
Fantastic. And we do love the plus one, or the equivalent of the PSMS elsewhere. and encourage students to think about those programs for sure. And professional doctorates, I'd also love them for the future.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, what everyone's been saying is pretty much what I've been thinking, but just to kind of summarize it, it's just CPS is a great space for people to grow as people, as individuals, as people who are building a network, as professionals, and they really do offer a lot of great opportunities for us to grow in various different ways. And like she said, we have to keep looking at them, keep looking for those opportunities, even if they're scary. I also come from a place of social anxiety, so you just have to take a leap of faith, make the jump, and you'll get a great opportunity from those chances. So don't let them go to waste.
Fantastic advice. I'd also, you can all hold me to this. I think it's one of my goals is not only to worry about each student as a student and their education, but each student as a person and how we can help support your growth in all aspects of your life that you're interested in. That's
So I agree like with all of my fellows, and I think because like in my undergrad study, I not actually very spontaneous. So like CPS really provides students like with many good opportunities and resources. So just like take advantage of every of them, and just like it's really good to make mistakes because like at least like you know like what you know like you can like make improvement, so you can like do better like on that thing, and you just like can have a better
perfect. Well, thanks all for joining me today to have this conversation on our first CPS Dean's Podcast. It was fun for me. I learned a lot, and I'm glad that you were able to join us. And remember, my door is always opened, even when it's not. My email is definitely always open, always. I look forward to seeing what each of you does in the coming years, both here in the college, but beyond that, and hope that you stay connected to your CPS community and help us grow that community. And for all of our listeners, thanks for listening. Hopefully you learned something new. And if you see me walking around, just remember, I'm just Jared.